Bonnie's going to share. We've been preparing and praying, and I have such a sense of anticipation, and I just want us to open our hearts to what I believe the Lord's put on His to share with us this morning. And Lord, would you anoint the words of His lips and the meditation of His heart, Father God. And Lord, would you soften our hearts so that we hear Your voice and we can respond to what You have brought for us here this morning, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.
Thanks. Thank you very much. What a wonderful privilege it is to share the word this morning at this amazing day. Probably one of the most important days in our history is the resurrection of God. And my prayer for this morning is that each one of us will just move one step closer to a deep, deep revelation of the living God. So that's really, because what He has done on the resurrection Sunday, we celebrate what not even any other God could have done in the past. All the other gods have graves. Our God's grave is empty. He's alive. And that has a significant impact on each one of us. And we must live in that victory. That's my desire for this morning. But before, I just want to, when Leonard asked me to share on the resurrection, immediately God dropped a picture in my mind. And I had to go and search in the archives for this picture, because I believe it's going to explain something of the resurrection. So I'm going to ask the picture. So that is many years ago. So that is me sitting in the sand there on the beach. In front of me is Lawrence. He's not so small anymore. And behind us is Bernard. He's the victorious one, the undertaker. And you can imagine, or you know what happened after that picture was taken. With a mighty roar, I got up from the sand. I walked across, I grabbed Lawrence by the hand, I pulled him out of the sand. And then what did we do next? We chased Bernard. And we tackled him and we ruffled him there in the sand. Now, why do I share this picture? Is because there's a lot of comparisons between this picture and actually the journey and the history of Jesus and the cross. So I'm just going to give a couple of comparisons. The one is that morning when we arrived there at the beach, Bernard had a plan. He started digging with all his might there, and he even got his brother to dig with him. In the same way, in the beginning of the world, Satan had a plan. He wanted to bury all of us. And he deceived Adam and Eve. And with that, the result was eternal death for all of us. The Bible says sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. Then when I watched as a father, I watched what's happening there. I said, okay, but I'm going to volunteer that you bury me with your brother. In the same way, God watched what's happened, and He actually sent His Son, Jesus, to earth. And say, okay, but for God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son. And then when I got into that hole for Bernard to bury me, I volunteered. In the same way, when Jesus got into that grave, he had other options. It says that the Bible said that He could have asked His Father to send 12 legions of angels to rescue Him. But no, He got into that sand. And then just as I rose from the sand at the appointed time with power and victory, so Jesus rose from the grave. And in that there was victory, for in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. So as I pulled Lawrence from the sand, that's what happened. In the same way, through Christ who rose from the dead, we all are made alive. So Bernard lost his position of power. You can clearly see there in the picture, he was in a position of power. His foot was on my head, his arms in the air. He was the main one. But when I rose from that sand, he ran. When Jesus rose from the dead, Satan was defeated. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under his feet, says Romans. So that is, but what I want to specifically focus on today is what was Lawrence's reaction. When I rose from the dead, Lawrence stuck out his hand. I took his hand and I pulled him out. He was overjoyed. You can imagine the laughter when I pulled him out of that sand. He looked at me as I was the hero. And then he ran next to me, cheering me on as we went to catch his brother. And he was like the strong man. Not because he was strong, because he ran next to the strong man. So in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ from the dead. So we must have the same joy because of Jesus who rose from the dead. That's in 1 Peter, and a couple of verses further in 1 Peter, it says, though you have not seen him, you love him. You believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. So my question today is, to what extent are you filled with inexpressible and glorious joy because of the resurrection? So that is the question. Maybe you've sang the songs this morning, but were there inexpressible and glorious joy in you because of what Jesus has done? And the problem that I see is many Christians are still stuck in this picture. In their mindset, in their revelation, they are here in that picture. They view Jesus as the crucified one in the grave. They view themselves still a bondage to sin. And Satan is still the ruler of the world. They're still in bondage. And this morning's picture is for us to move on. I want to encourage each one of us to move on from that picture to really, as I can use, running on the beach, chasing Satan, inexpressible, glorious joy. So that's that picture. I want to show you another graph. So that is extent of revelation or resurrection revelation. On the one end, it's no belief. Those people who say they don't believe it at all, they even say it's nonsense. On the other end, it's an absolute conviction. Almost a kind of Peter Paul revelation of the resurrected Christ. And this morning, each one of us are somewhere on that graph. Our goal is to get everybody one step to the right, of a couple of steps, so that we in the end, we all end there with an absolute conviction, a revelation of the resurrected God. So I'm going to walk the journey, because if you may be to the left of that graph, don't condemn yourself, because I'm going to show you that all of Jesus' disciples were there. And Jesus walked the road with them. He took them from the very left to the very right. So we're going to look this morning about on the journey of those disciples, how they walked the journey from the very left. And in that, we're going to learn something individually and as a church. What can we do to get all of us to an absolute conviction of the resurrected Christ? So we read in the Gospels, and you can put up Matthew 16. What I want to say is, it's to hear the words that Jesus has risen, It's not like a light switch that you put on and suddenly there's that revelation. It seems like it's a journey. So that's why I want to encourage each one of us to walk on the journey. So let's look at the disciples. This is from Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and raised to life. So it says from that day on. So it wasn't a once-off. In fact, all the Gospels have this similar verse in, that Jesus taught them and told them, I must go to Jerusalem, they're going to kill me, in 3 days I'm going to rise from the dead. So that's what Jesus told them. Apart from that, there was all the other prophecies that also prophesied there. But Jesus, in his own word, he sat around them and he explained to them. And what happened when they captured him and killed him? They ran. They did not believe a single word of what he said. They ran. They did not believe that. And then even after his death, is we read that, and I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke 24, because we're going to read through a couple of times through Luke 24. So you might open there and keep your finger there. But in Luke, we read that the woman, early on the third day, they went to the grave. They took all their oils and prepared to work on the body of Jesus. So when they came there, they saw that the stone was rolled away and Jesus was gone. And then a woman, or there were two men that appeared to them, explained the scriptures, and suddenly they remembered what Jesus had said. And they ran back to the disciples. And I want to read this. When they came back from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed to them like nonsense. That's why I used the word nonsense in my slide, because it comes from the Bible. They said they don't believe it, it's nonsense. Now, can you imagine what Jesus must have thought when he, because obviously he knew what those, the conversation that was going on, but can you imagine the disappointment with him? He walked the journey with these bunch of guys for 3 years. He sowed so much into them. He explained, he taught them. He was expecting to hand over the responsibility of building the kingdom on earth to these guys. He went through the crucifixion, the death. He died. Then he did what no human can do. He rose from the dead, the victorious one. And his trusted buddies don't believe it. They say it's nonsense. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? But still, Jesus did not write them off. He came and he met them at their unbelief, and he walked the journey with them. We cannot expect people in the churches to just suddenly believe it. If we stand here and we say, Jesus rose from the dead, we can't expect anybody to suddenly believe and get a deep revelation of that. We as a church, as a body of believers, must encourage one another to believe it more and more and more. It's easy to believe that Jesus was born. We see it all, we were all born. It's easy to believe that Jesus died, because it's all die. But it's very, very difficult to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, because he's the only one. So we must walk, we must put extra effort in to get all followers of Christ to believe that. It's crucial that the people believe that. Because that's the punchline of the gospel. Later in 1 Corinthians 1, or in 1 Corinthians, Paul argues this about the resurrection. And then he makes this statement. He says, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith." That is the essence, the punchline, the important part of our gospel. And we must put emphasis on that. So, what did Jesus do? Just why is it also so difficult that many times, you can put the picture again on the, it's difficult for people to move on from the left to the right on that picture. And even if I look at the church, even our symbol, the cross, I'm not saying it's wrong, but it might get people stuck on the death of Jesus. I love what Carla shared this morning of how she explained to her kids the empty grave. What a wonderful story that she did with her kids to explain it. But we as a church mustn't stop at our symbol. We must go past that symbol. And even if I've heard many, many people share the gospel, evangelists, and many of those messages end up, Jesus died for your sin. And then they end there. You must be washed by the blood. He paid the price. He suffered for you. And then they end there. We must make sure that we go the full story, that we end up there, that we say, okay, but without the firm belief of the resurrection, our faith is in vain. Okay, so let's look at what Jesus did then. So, he, in Acts 1 verse 3 to 5, it gives a short summary of what Jesus has done. It says, "After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, and in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So important, he spent another 40 days with them. He walked the journey with them. He gave them many convincing truths. What a wonderful God we serve. Even if they've disappointed him so much, he spent time with them. And then another important thing of this verse is the Holy Spirit. In so many times, you read of those early believers who done magnificent things, amazing things. They always referred to them. They had a firm revelation of the living God, living Jesus, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the two components of, if I may say it with respect, superpower in the gospel. A firm revelation of the Holy Spirit plus a firm revelation of the living Jesus plus the Holy Spirit. Okay. Let's look at a couple of things that Jesus done in that 40 days while he was with them. The next slide. This is again from Luke 24, which we've read, the woman that visited the grave. They found the empty grave. When they walked out, they met two men dressed in white. And those men, what did they say? "He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners and crucified and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. First thing, Jesus sent people to remember the people of what he said. We as a church, we must remind the people regularly of what he said. Then, the next, later on in that chapter, we saw that they went back to the disciples and then it tells the story of these two followers of Jesus who on their road to Emmaus. So they were walking, chatting about all that's happening. Then Jesus appeared to them. You walked with them. They didn't recognize them. And he was asking them, okay, now what are you talking about? And then they asked him, are you a visitor in Jerusalem that you don't know? Jesus was a prophet. He was killed and now his body is gone. So what did Jesus do? So he had the conversation. And then in verse 25 we read, he said to them, how foolish you are and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said and all the scriptures concerning himself. Again, he explained the scriptures. He explained to them. He took the time to explain it to them. Then they arrived at their destination and they invited Jesus to come and stay over with them. Then in verse 30 we read, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And then these two followers ran back to Jerusalem, even at night, where they came to the rest, and they told them, listen, we've seen Jesus. And then they say, then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. When I read this, it's actually just a fresh revelation of the importance of breaking bread together. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to me to break bread together, but Jesus said we must do that. He instituted that, sacrament. And in that, they recognize Jesus. So when we break bread together, it's a serious thing. And we must constantly, when we do that, the goal must be to recognize Jesus, the living Jesus. Many times, and I'm at fault, many times I only focus on his body that was broken, the blood that flowed when we use communion. But we must focus on try to recognize the living God, because that's how these guys recognized him. So while they were still speaking in Luke 24, Jesus was there with them. He appeared. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. How amazing is that? Every time Jesus appeared to his disciples, that was his first words, peace be with you. And let us, I might really pray, God, may we please experience the peace in this day. Because that's what you said, that's what you came for. Peace be with us, Lord. Then they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hand and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see the ghost, and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When they said this, he showed them these hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, and then he asked them to eat something. Amazing this, our poor Thomas, everybody says doubting Thomas, because he said, I want to touch his body. But in this scripture, it said they all touched his body, so they all doubted. Amazing thing is that he still had the scars in his hands, in his feet. Although he was healed, he was alive. So that's an important indication that the cross is important. The cross is very important. Jesus focused on the signs of the cross, but he didn't stop there. He said, I'm alive. I'm alive. So when we refer, we as a church cannot ignore the cross. That is crucial. But we must move past the cross and see the living Jesus from that. And look how he explained it to them. And then verse 45 is very important. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in the name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you receive the power from on high. That first verse, then he opened their minds so that they can understand the scriptures. How often do you pray? I trust that you pray that God will open your minds. I really believe this morning that God will open our minds that we understand the scripture in a fresh way. Maybe on that scale of belief and revelation, that God will open your minds that you will move a couple of steps to a more deeper revelation, that He will open your minds. And then again in this one verse, it says that they will receive the Holy Spirit. We trust that the Holy Spirit will come and reveal that to us, that it give us a deep conviction of the living God. I want to read another interesting verse. We all know this verse, or the latter part of this scripture, we all know. And we've read it hundreds of times. But I want to look at the verse just before that. That's in Matthew 28. Then the disciples went to Galilee, on the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Then they saw him. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." You all know that scripture. But have you seen that in the verse just before that? Some would doubt it. That's very interesting. So Jesus had these group of people and he gave them this big commandment. Go to all nations, make them their disciples, baptize them, teach them, all those things. But some doubted. And the message that I believe is, if we sit in a church like this, and maybe you feel that I doubt, just go with the others. Because yeah, it said some doubted. So some had a firm belief, but he sent them as a group. Just go with the others. Somewhere along the way, you will also get the revelation. So that is also a tip or a secret. Just go with those who believe. As you walk the journey, as you go to all nations and you evangelize and you make disciples, you will catch it. Okay, then my last scriptures is we must present the full gospel. And I want to just take us to Acts 2, verse 22. Now this was when Peter stood up in Jerusalem. They had just received the Holy Spirit, and then he explained the gospel to all the people. Listen what he says. He explained to them and said, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourself know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep all its hold on him." And then a couple of verses later, "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured it out on what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be sure of this. God has made his Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and all the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And he then says, Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized." And on that day, 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus. That was the first sermon, and that was the sermon that started the church. But can you see that the punchline of the sermon was Jesus rose from the dead? Death couldn't hold him down. Because all those people, they saw Jesus died. It was in Jerusalem. It was the same city. That didn't move them. The fact that Jesus died didn't convince them. The fact that he rose convinced them. And that was the start of the church. So let us as a church, when we share the gospel, that we share the gospel of the living God. Cross is very important. The life of Jesus is very important. But the real victory is the resurrection from the dead. So in conclusion, let's, again, that graph. For us, we want to move a couple of steps to the right. In the end, we all want to reach that deep conviction of the living God. And what a wonderful journey we saw this morning of Jesus. How he actually did not, his people did not believe. He did not condemn them. Jesus doesn't condemn any of us this morning. But I really believe that he wants to walk a journey with us. Let us explain the scriptures as Jesus sent people to explain the scriptures. Let us remember the cross as Jesus showed his hands and his feet to those people, that we remember the cross, but that we will see the living God. That will be our gospel message. As we break bread, that we will see the living God. And as we go, that we will go as a church, those who believe more than others, that we all go together, walk this journey. And as we go, that our revelation of the living God, the living Jesus, just grows stronger and stronger. Amen.